want you to know, Pastor, I learn more every time I come.
Thank you. That's nothing but the Lord, Christy. Nothing but the Lord. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that we can come and hear your word. We thank you that everything we need comes from you. And you wrote it down for us so we could get it. Help us to understand your word, Lord. Lord, this is a good way to begin a new year. Digging into the very thoughts you have, the very things you share with us. Let this coming year just be based on our Christian beliefs and Christian faith. Waiting for you to come back, Lord Jesus. We're eager for you to come back. We're all homesick. So Lord, feed us today. Use me as your vessel, Holy Spirit. And let us not leave here like we came, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to turn to the very first page of your Bible, Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 9 and go through verse 13. In case you have trouble finding it, it's the very first page of your Bible. Page 1. Holler when you're there. Amen. Amen. All right. Starting with verse 9. Then God said, Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. Verse 12, And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then verse 13, So the evening and the morning were the third day. The evening and the morning were the third day. Now, there's a lot of material in these few short verses, but I want to focus in on one topic. I want us to recognize that the verses we read concern a creative day. A creative day, the beginning of a new era. And in this message, I will refer to these verses as the start of a season. Start of a season. Now, the first day of creation involved the creation of light. Amazing. Light separated from darkness. Amen. The second day, pretty amazing stuff also happened. God separated the waters above the earth and the waters below the heavens. But God wasn't finished yet. We just read about the third day. And wow, God gathered the waters together to form the seas and the lands which he calls the earth. Then God brought life to the land. Amen? Now, please understand that our God is a systematic creator. He made things in specified specific order. Even though things began in chaos, in the end, you will see his divine organization and his divine purpose. Our God is also revelatory. He reveals things. And he's systematic. He puts everything in order. Day one, then day two, day three, all these things created in order. Understand, saints, God never operates haphazardly. He doesn't become discombobulated. He doesn't. And by divine order, decree, and declaration that the events of this season would occur. Everything was laid out by God. And let me say it this way. He is the organized designer of everything that has been created. Everything.
Amen.
God makes the appropriate decisions for everything He does. With God, everything takes place for a reason and for the purpose of revealing His glory. Now, I hope you're getting this. Our God is a God of organization. He is a God of arrangement. He is a God of procedures. That's our God. Now, look back at your text at verse 12 with me. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. Now, I hope you understand that God wasn't planning on creating every single tree that would ever grow on planet Earth. Just the first ones. Neither was He planning on recreating over and over again a blade of grass when it was the right time for one to appear. You see, God wasn't planning on that being His full-time job. He created a self-sustaining system. Notice that the Bible says the seed was in itself. The seed was in itself. He didn't create the trees, flowers, and grass and not have a system of reproduction in place. Perfect designs. Perfect designs. So what is a seed? The seed is the future. It signifies the continuation of something. It means that God created a system to sustain the next generations and the future workings of God's will on the earth. Let me say that again. I want you to hear that. It means that God created a system to sustain the next generations and the future workings of God's will on the earth.
Amen.
Amen. Without it, the next season would collapse. Without it, the next day of promise, we would starve to death. God's system would sustain the future steps of His creation. Amen? For instance, if you want some ryegrass to grow, you plant some seed that came from previous fields of rye. Amen? Do you want to grow fruit trees? Plant the seeds from the fruit of another fruit tree. It'll reproduce. But don't wait on the Lord to show up like Santa Claus to do a miracle of new grass if you got a dead spot in your yard. It's not going to happen. Now, how many of you have already determined I'm not really talking about grass this morning? I hope you have. So on the third day, God created and put in place a plan that would feed the inhabitants of earth by replenishing the seeds for all time. God had set a wonderful system in motion for nature to take care of itself. And folks, all of His designs are flawless.
That's right.
Every one of His designs is flawless. However, I wonder about the seasons of our life. The seasons of our life. What will the culmination of God's will and purpose be for us? Now, if you're going to enter into a new season, like the coming Tuesday, there must be a system in place to sustain you. Next year will be different than this year because we will face new situations and challenges, perhaps even a new spiritual battle. It's going to be different. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to look at a few verses there, starting with verse 43. I'm going to sneak some water while you look. All right, Matthew 12, starting with verse 43. when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to the house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. In verse 43, an evil spirit was removed from this person's life. But please know the spirit had been comfortable there. He'd been residing there and he'd been comfortable. He was able to have some control. Sometimes he was even accepted. Amen? Amen? So the banished spirit says to himself, I can't find rest with anyone else. So I'm going home with seven of my buddies that are even worse than I am. Why does he return with seven others? Well, this man is now empty. He's empty. And he doesn't want to get kicked out again, so he brings his buddies with him. Amen? If there are 8, 16, 32 evil spirits, well, you get the picture. They're secure because there's so many, right? These demonic influences are known as spiritual strongholds. Yes. Spiritual strongholds. Verse 45 says the state of that man was now worse than it was in the beginning. Now, this poor guy had his first spirit back in his life, but along with it, now he has seven stronger spirits who are giving him new challenges. Have you ever had times when you just can't figure out why you keep experiencing the same things over and over and over again? It's frustrating to face the same problem time after time. Now, as a Christian, you must remember that God's creative DNA is inside of you. The Bible declares that you are made in His image. And so, with God residing in you, you have the ability to do something about those strongholds. Amen? But dear brothers and sisters, the enemy hopes to deceive us so that we will not understand or recognize God's principles concerning deliverance, nor will we exercise our power and authority. Amen? Obviously, the devil becomes frightened when he considers the possibility of us operating in the power that will undoubtedly produce prohibit his activity. And how can we guarantee a victory over Satan? By allowing the Holy Spirit to have control over our lives. Amen? Remember, all of God's design and His purposes are perfect. All of His designs and purposes are perfect. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us so that when the evil spirit returns to develop those spiritual strongholds, he will not find an empty vessel. He will not find that empty vessel, but one filled with the presence of Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, please keep in mind that Jesus is wise in everything, he says, and competent in all he does.
Amen.
Amen? And that's why he told his disciples and followers in Acts chapter 1 to go into Jerusalem and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Go there and wait. Stay there. Don't do anything until you have the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew that these believers were approaching a new season, one in which they would need the Holy Spirit's power. Without a doubt, persecutions would increase. Obstacles would arise that they had never encountered before. A new type of adversity was on its way. So Jesus wanted to ensure that those who believed in him would overcome. They would be more than conquerors in their life.
Hallelujah.
Listen, folks, there's a spiritual principle in Matthew chapter 12. It is warning you that if you're not careful to do your due diligence, which is being full of the Holy Spirit, then the evil you are trying to denounce in your life will simply return, badgering you with the same problems again and again. It's decision time. Will you allow this harassment to continue in your life? Or will you let the Holy Spirit work deliverance in your life? God will not create some new way for anyone who battles a stronghold. No matter how massive the stronghold, Jesus has already announced that someone has been sent into this world for you and me who will protect us, provide for us, teach us, empower us, deliver us, so that we can face every new season in our lives with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
Amen. Now, James chapter 4 and verse 7 says this, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have the supernatural ability. We have the supernatural ability. We have the supernatural ability, folks, to resist the devil, and it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit provides the power to sustain us in every season of our lives. And He, the Holy Spirit, will bring to fruition the same result every time. Please don't think He works for everyone else, but not for you. He will work the same for you as He does for me. Now, besides being our helper, the Holy Spirit, God offers us the advantage of other things. Prayer life. When you submit yourselves to God, you will find that prayer works on your behalf. But take time to pray. Find an altar of prayer, praying continually until the answer comes. Amen? Fasting will also work for you. Anytime you say no to your flesh and yes to His Spirit, you're not only cleaning your house, but you're also putting your life in order. Amen? Getting into the Word of God. It just isn't for people who have never read it before. There are a lot of seed in this book, and when it's planted in your heart, it will reproduce itself over and over again. Amen? The Word teaches us how to live and how to be blessed in every season of our lives. Then making church a priority isn't just for people who don't have something else to do on a Sunday. Amen? Keeping Sunday holy. Making worship a priority and hearing God's Word will sustain us in our season of promise. In church, you'll find worship, you find fellowship, you find the Word, you find ministry to one another, and you find involvement with one another. Church is where we get the spiritual energy and the spiritual strength to not only submit to God, but also to resist the devil. God designed and directed all of these spiritual components to keep us blessed and undefeated in every season.
Thank you, Lord.
So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, prayer, fasting, the Word, and the church are all part of God's plan to secure you in Him. To defeat any negative influences from the enemy. It's His plan. You won't do better by yourself.
Right.
It's His plan. Amen. And I give you an example after example of ways that you can succeed in a new season. But the bottom line is that the same Holy Spirit that speaks to me will speak to you. And when He does, follow His plan and allow Him to deliver you. The Holy Spirit works in you, with you, and beside you to eliminate the storms, or He will take you through the storm side by side. Amen. Now in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, in the New Living Translation, it says, "And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee." King James says it's the seal. The Holy Spirit's the seal. "That He will give us the inheritance He promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him." Amen. Can I suggest that you honestly consider the overwhelming importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit? It is a new year, and it can be the best year ever if we will surrender to His control and allow Him to lead us into a season of spiritual triumph. Amen. Amen. There's a reason why the events of Acts chapter 2 didn't occur until Jesus had ascended into heaven and the day of Pentecost had fully come. Remember the God of order? He's the God of order. God didn't get His days and His seasons mixed up. When it was time for His disciples and His followers to receive the Holy Spirit, it filled the house where they were sitting. It happened at the appropriate moment. It happened at the appropriate moment. It happened in its proper season. Amen? And when it did, it gave the church the power it needed to become the witness in the world. God put in place a system, if you will, just like back when creation took place, He put a system in that would enable His people to live above sin. Amen? To live above sin. Listen to Romans 8:2 in the New Living Translation. "And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." Hallelujah. 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 At the time of our salvation, we received the precious Holy Spirit, but we also received the fruit of the Spirit. And like any fruit, it must develop and mature. As the fruit of the Spirit is allowed to flourish within you and me, it will influence us to live like Jesus, to live as Christ lived. Amen? And with the power of the Holy Spirit that comes to the believer through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to submit to God and flee from the devil. He gives us a power. God's plan for you is to believe and then receive. Believe and then receive. But you and I have a free choice. I wish we didn't. Most of the time. I wish we were puppets. Most of the time we wouldn't have near as much trouble as we have. Amen? You have a free choice, the power to say yes or no to God. The Holy Spirit is not a genie. It's not some other mystical being. He is God. He is God. He's not an it. One third of the Godhead takes up residence within you. Wow. One third of the Godhead lives in you. What you do with Him is up to you. How you respond to His work in your life is your decision. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, like me, you might have heard some statements like this. I don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or, I don't want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or, that was only for the New Testament church. If you choose to refuse the baptism of the Holy Spirit, folks, it will be your loss. You will be missing out on a marvelous gift from Him and the joy of experiencing miraculous blessings in your life. Now, let me ask you, what if there weren't any grasses, herbs, trees planted on day three? What kind of world would we have if they did not reproduce? How would our food be multiplied? Wouldn't we all starve to death? I believe so. During creation, God placed the system of reproduction into the earth so that the world could be fed. Amen? The same God that made something marvelous available to the church in Acts chapter 2 that would continually feed and provide for His church through the ages, the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In a couple of days, we're going to enter into a new season. And there will also be a new season taking place right here. Right here at Turning Point. God wants the believers here to come alive in praise and worship. I intend to keep teaching on the subject till we get it. So I want the devil to leave our family alone. He just can't hang around when people praise and worship. He just won't do it. Why? Because Psalm 22:3 says, "But you," he's talking about God, "but you, God, are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." That means He sets up housekeeping in the praise of His people. So if we're going to move into new seasons following God's plan, we need the help of His Spirit. As seasons change in your personal life, you will need to allow God's perfect and complete design to operate in you so that every new season will be a successful one. Amen? Be a successful one. So this morning, what are you going to do with the gift of the Holy Spirit? What are you going to do with the gift of the Holy Spirit? So I want to pray with you. I want to pray for salvation or baptism of the Holy Spirit or peace or healing or deliverance or rededication. I want to pray with you as you start this new year. I don't want you living with anything that will hinder you in any way. I want that vessel that's in you to be full of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Nothing can come in there that God doesn't intend to be in there.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. I think as you go into this new season, you should be prepared and ready.
Amen.
Looking for God's blessings and God's direction, rather than looking how Satan's going to hit you next.
Amen. Let's look to the hills, see where our help comes from.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So can we do that? Can we take a few minutes?
Yes.
I deliberately didn't make this message very long, so we can pray. Maybe we need to pray for each other. whatever the Spirit leads us in this. But folks, we need to be a one mind, unity of spirit, that we're going to come into this new year blessed of God. Amen? Amen. There's something that's been holding you back all last year. Get rid of it. Get rid of it today. Can we do that? Yes. Hallelujah. So Joy, put on some music and we're just going to pray. All right? Hallelujah. Let's stand together, folks. Hallelujah. So if you will, you want prayer, I want you to come up here. I want you to make an effort to come up here. Otherwise, I'll come and pick you out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you need something from God, come on. Don't start the year like last year. Jesus. Grab each other's hands, folks. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Kula matara mahana masida boku tarabakatai. Tide kitide bakitide makushide bukatarabakai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.